We return to the windswept fjords of Norway this week as the trolls return to Netflix with another mythological kaiju battle. Can the good trolls combat the bad trolls and save the day? Or will this movie live up to its title as the best worst movie in the series? Find out along with us. This is Kaiju vs. History, Troll 2.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your UV light attack helicopter pilot, Patrick, and joining me is your bored fjord lord ready to fight the horde, Miles. We'll say Miles.
What's up, buddy?
You gotta type in Troll 2. 2025 if you want some information about this movie.
It's so funny because I rated this on my personal letterbox, and one of my friends was like, that's a interesting rating for Troll 2. And I'm like, look at the date. And they're like, oh. I'm like, yeah. Like, look, all Troll 2 really has going for it, I'm talking about the OG, is the best worst movie documentary, or watching that movie with friends. Like, it's a nonsense movie. And
Did you catch the Troll 2 1990 reference in this movie, Miles?
Yes, and I didn't really appreciate it, to be perfectly honest.
It's fun. They it's knew. Fun.
We're going to get to it in a second, but I really wanted to push back against calling this movie Troll 2.
Well, what should we have called it?
I don't know, Patrick. Why don't you tell us what's in a title?
Yeah, so if you haven't known, if you didn't listen to our previous episode on Troll, 2023's Troll, this title is always going to tickle me pink, even if it was like Troll 2 and then like a subtitle. It's just funny that they decided to go for it be known as Troll 2. And then it was internationally, you know, it was no other real subtitles anywhere else. For those of you who don't know, Troll 2 is a 1990 horror movie widely considered one of the best worst movies of all time. It is excellent at being bad. They made a documentary about it, about its production, how crazy it was. And it's one of those lightning in a bottle things where it's like a non-English speaking director writer with like an all English cast and a lot of like non-actors in like the main roles. The yeah, father was like a dentist that
it is very much like Manos, the Hands of Fate for the 1990s.
Oh my goodness.
Almost to a T.
Is there not a riff tracks for
Troll 2?
There's gotta be.
I can't imagine there's not.
Oh, it's so funny. But yeah, this movie decided to go with Troll 2, and like I said, no subtitle. But I feel like they probably should just gone Troll versus Troll or something like that, you know?
You know what? I might have even given them Troll numeral 2.
Okay, that's not too much different.
It's not too much different, and it's not better, but at least visually I can just see it being different, you know, than the standard Troll 2, because that very much bothers me. But yeah, what's in it? What's in the title, bud?
Not much. Like I said, the concept of trolls around the world were a little bit different, and their translations a little bit different, just like in the first movie. So like in Taiwan, it translated out to mountain troll. So this is mountain troll 2. And the same thing with Brazil, de Montanha 2. So it's the mountain troll 2 as well there. The Turkey title translates directly to the mysterious monster, which is a terrible title, but it's a hilarious. Yes. I would love to see the Turkish poster of it. But yeah, I was so surprised that this movie came out as quickly as it did from the first film. You know, two years. First one was 2023, and this one's 2025.
No, the first one was 2022.
Oh, well, then I got it wrong. I wrote it down in my notes. Watched movies. No. I knew this one was 2025, but yeah, I mean, either way, it seems like pretty fast, at least for for Netflix. Like, it seemed like that first movie came out and they had already like greenlit director
Roar Thog
for the sequel.
Yeah, as soon as Troll like kind of hit Netflix and hit very well, Netflix immediately wanted a new one, and they started around 2024. And yeah, they rocketed this one back to Netflix. It came out December 1st, 2025. I purposely didn't watch it this holiday season because I knew I was doing it for the show, and I didn't want to watch it again in case I didn't like it.
It launched and I was at work, I think, the day that it came out. I did set it up to play on my work computer while I went and did something else. So it had day one watch for me. Well, that's one thing that they really care about in these streaming war kind of things is like, oh, what was the buzz the day it came out, a week after it came out, and then like a month after it came out, you know? So all those things matter. But
yeah,
this is, oh boy, Miles, very similar movie to the first film, but also very similar production. And I didn't expect them to reinvent the wheel for the sequel. But I mean, there's like shot for shot a lot of very similar things that happen in this film. And some of it is like, you know, purposefully something that happened in the first movie, which is kind of funny, but
it's kind of fun. We'll get to it. So this movie, just to let you right out the gate, this movie suffers greatly from sequelitis.
Yeah, and it's funny because for the trailer, it has, you know, the Andreas character had become a writer at the end of the previous movie. Yeah. And at this point, his sequel book has already come out in like 3 years, which is pretty fast for a writer too.
Yeah.
But a character was like, oh, I don't like sequels. Aren't they a little boring or something along those lines in regards to his book? Very meta in that way. But it made for a very funny trailer moment. But watching it in the movie, I was like, ooh, yeah, maybe the sequel was a bit too much.
Yeah. I agree. So obviously the principal poster and stuff teased a fight between two trolls.
Yeah,
and
double the trouble.
Right out the gate, while I did like the design of the troll to a degree in the first film, it was one of the things I thought needed a little work. And when you have two creatures that look very, very similar, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, I get it. It's kind of like a Norwegian War of the Gargantuas, but like, I don't know. I thought the troll designs were kind of lacking in this one. And I was kind of hoping for a little more oomph there. I mean, you have a sequel, you presumably have the same amount, if not more money to play with. And I was kind of hoping for just a little more pizzazz. But that aside, I do want to talk about some of the good stuff about this movie. First of all, I guess this actually like kind of goes with my personal watching history. I recently decided to just go back through the original Jurassic Park trilogy because the first one was one of my favorites of all time. And I remember not liking The Lost World in theaters. It's like one of my first experiences of going to the movies and not liking something. I wholeheartedly. And so I was really curious how I would feel about 30 years later. And so many of my feelings about The Lost World are applicable to Troll 2.
Yeah.
In The Lost World, they bring back Ian Malcolm, who has been disgraced after talking publicly about Jurassic Park and kind of been made a laughingstock of the field and is more kind of a rogue on his own. And in the same way, Nora, the kind of the heroine of the last film, suffers the same fate. She is living in a remote cabin and basically is just kind of like doing her own thing because she got completely left out to dry by the government.
Yeah. Yeah. They make reference to, you know, the government changing because of the handling of the troll situation. But I mean, they were up against it in that movie. In this one, they're like much better prepared, but they still are like keeping a troll basically in this underground research facility which is very cool visually. Mm-hmm. The troll is just not as much of a character. Really, neither of them are.
No.
In this movie compared to the first, who was the first movie's troll was like the king of the trolls, you know, had personal vendettas and beef with members of the Norwegian parliament, you know, or royal family in Oslo. This movie, the troll, the first troll is named Jotun, which I think just stands, it means troll in the language, which is pretty hilarious. And then they wake up another troll kind of to join forces with them about halfway through the movie that they name Beautiful. And is definitely like a, it seems like a younger troll, maybe.
He has golden retriever vibes. He's got puppy vibes for sure.
Doesn't have a big beard. And we get very little with him and the humans working together before he's written out of the movie until the last 5 minutes, you know, or last 10 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's really funny because they recruit this troll who gets his ass handed to him immediately.
Well, just gets, gets blasted under the ice on a giant Norwegian lake. And then it's just gone. And I guess they assumed he was dead. they don't even attempt to rescue. And then he just shows up. They don't show him like ever leaving the lake or like anything like that. He just shows up at the end to help out. Just a little less characterful of a monster in both the good troll and the bad troll in this movie.
And in general, I think, like, so they bring back basically every main character from the last one who survived. So you've got Nora, you've got Andreas, and you have Captain Chris, who is now a major. And then you have
Andreas's wife, who helped.
Sigrid?
Probably.
Yeah,
Esther, Sigrid. Maybe? No.
Sigrid, and who is pregnant with their first child, who, if it's a boy, I don't remember the name, because I remember the name of the girl, which is Uhura.
It was Leonard because it was another.
Oh, like, yeah, because it was all Star Trek references.
Yeah.
And because they're big nerds, and it was fun to see Sigrid again, or Ziggy. But at the same time, like, as soon as I saw Chris again, I was like, oh boy, we're just going to do this. We're just repeating everything. Like, it's almost the exact same plot points as the first movie. But even worse, they are telegraphing every pass. Like, from the get-go, when Siggy is like, you know, don't be a hero to Andreas. I'm like, well, as soon as he started spouting out like certain quotes,
he was like, boy, okay,
he's gone.
I can't wait to see my daughter born and also finally get to enjoy the spoils of being a successful writer. And I'm also a few days away from retirement.
Yeah.
Many tropes as possible. And
even quoting the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one from Star Trek 2.
Yeah, I wish they had gone that route and kept him alive and made kind of like a jokey ending for him, because like him actually sacrificing himself. First of all, it didn't seem like we have to kill this troll right now or it's the end of the world. I guess maybe the other troll was being drowned, so like his life was in danger, but the other troll was under an icy lake for seemingly hours, right?
Yeah, and not only that, but like, I feel like there was ways to get this done without, like, they're like, oh, no, it can only be done manually. I was like, bullshit. But not only that, it felt so contrived. The moment didn't even feel like you knew it was happening because everything was in slow motion. So we knew exactly what was happening from the get. And I actually hated that. Like, really bothered me.
Oh yeah, I was marking off a full point for that ending. It really felt like the actor was just like, please don't put me in the sequel.
Well, that, and then having like, oh, and we're bringing back Chris's best friend, but guess what? He's gonna die immediately.
I didn't remember another military character from the first movie, but yeah, maybe he was in there.
I wonder if he was or if he or not, but like, he certainly has a past, and he knew Nora, I think. So I don't know, but
we do have a new character added to the group in Marion Radani, who's just kind of like a foil for Nora. And she's also interested in Major Chris. I call him Major Chris now. But yeah.
Yeah. And my problem with Marion was that, like, yeah, she's a foil to Nora initially. And then she's just in the background, googly eyes at Chris. It contributes almost nothing until maybe the last 20 minutes where she has an idea, or, you know, Nora and Marion work together to figure this whole thing out. But I was kind of disappointed that they had nothing for her. They had no pathos outside of, oh, well, the military man's pretty cute.
I mean, he was pretty cute, Miles.
Sure, that's fine. But, like,
it seemed like if they were going to do that, it feels like they should have made that a bit more of the humans plot, because they don't have a relationship at the end of this movie. I feel like that was something they were kind of maybe going towards at the end of the previous film.
They're apparently all living together at the end of this movie.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, they're together taking care of Andreas's baby.
Yeah, because so after everyone's defeated, we get the ape ex mecha ape ending where Beautiful gets to go on this new sanctuary special for him that Chris, Nora, Marion, Andreas, and the baby, or Andreas's wife and the baby all live.
Yeah.
And it's a weird ending.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a little out of left field. It is very funny. We get a post credits or a mid credits sequence of another troll being hatched by one of the operators from the facility. I was like, I forgot all about that character and that scene.
Yeah, who's in the first movie too.
I don't remember him hardly at all.
I don't either, don't worry. And yeah, so he's studying a baby troll that has grown on from one of the Jotun's genetic, I guess, samples. What?
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, cool. They're promising another one, I guess. This one didn't do as well in terms of reception.
Yeah, I guess critics and audiences didn't like this one as much. But that's the thing. I mean, people love trash on Netflix every once in a while.
Oh, I mean, people watched it for sure.
Well, that's the thing. It came out in December, which sometimes is just a very good month for movies on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine if they liked the kind of metrics that happened here. I don't think the movie is bad. We'll get to our ratings before too long here, but it definitely didn't scratch the same itch the first one did in a lot of ways. And even more so than the first one, which did have this, I wouldn't say problem, but it was definitely a factor of it. This movie feels like a visitnorway.com like video of, you know, hey, look, here are the mountains where there's a large skiing camp, and visit Trondheim, which has this historical district, and we have to save the town. It definitely feels like it is, and probably was, had some kickback from the government of Norway to show off like the amazing vistas of the country. And you know what? It worked, because it does have a beautiful backdrop. They are shooting on location in a lot of the places where they say they are. I was very interested to find out. I think they also shot in somewhere else in Europe. Hungary. I think some of the city shots were a little difficult in Trondheim. But yeah, the first movie felt that way, and this one just kind of amps that up a little bit. felt even more like that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And I mean, and you can't argue against like how gorgeous Norway is. Like, if you need a location to be a character, poo boy.
I mean, it definitely has a New Zealand kind of feel for the Lord of the Rings. It's like, if you have this as an asset, you're going to use it, you know, no matter what.
Yes.
It's why some of probably like the worst movies use B-roll from places like Norway, or, you know, New Zealand as background. It's like, oh, we want this to be a fantasy movie. Well, people equate New Zealand with fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, and we you know, we talked about how, especially with some of the, I guess it's only just like, there's only a couple recurring jokes, but the bit where that Patrick referred to earlier, where in the first movie, this guy gets his house destroyed by the troll. And we see that they are picking out, I think, wallpaper for their reconstructed house.
Yeah, it's all done. It took 3 years, but it's all back together. The house was obliterated.
Yeah.
Completely.
And it's, I gotta say, like, I knew what they were doing, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't, this isn't working for me. Like, yeah, at first I was like, but then the more, like, I thought about it, I was like, yeah, I don't mind a wink here and there, but, like, one of the worst things that sequels always do is constantly refer, like, to the prior movie as if we forgot. Like, it's almost like member berries for a year ago, you know?
Yeah, it's hard because we watch these movies fairly close together, you know?
Even if we didn't, I would still feel the same way.
Our episode of Troll was about 4 months ago, towards the end of December, we watched it for the podcast. That was the first time I watched it, so that is pretty back-to-back. But still, even I feel like if it was 3 years apart, I'd be like, oh, okay, yes, they destroyed the same house again. Then they brought those people on the news to say, oh, by the way, we had our house destroyed by the other troll.
Yeah.
If they make a Troll 3, those people are coming back, and that's fine.
It actually might be funnier in the third one.
Well, that's the thing. It's got to be absurd. I was expecting them to do anything different, like do the, you know, GMK fake out where it's like, oh, he is about to step on the house, but then like steps past it. And the farmer's like, oh, thank goodness. And then like his tail whips around and destroys the house or destroys the car or destroys something different.
I think you can also kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, you just wanted something different, and it feels like everything felt like either an attempt at a bigger version of a scene from the first movie, or it was flat out retreading, and that aspect just didn't do a whole lot for me. Like the script just did not feel that sharp, and I felt bad for the cast because I really like, what is her name, Ina Wildman, I guess.
Yep, Ina Wildman.
She's fantastic. She's a really, really solid actress. And I think, I mean, it's like, you know, when you get any of those, like in an English movie, when you get like a big actor to return or something from a prior, like it'd be like getting Jeff Goldblum in the second Jurassic Park, you know? I also like they were able to bring back the dad for at least one scene. And actually, that was kind of one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
The first one? Yeah,
the opening scene, yeah.
I liked there was that scene, but they also had a like animated history of humans versus trolls, which was also very good. Yeah. It seemed like something that could have been at home in the first movie.
Every time it went deeper into the lore and was trying to tell us something that we didn't already know or more details about things that we did, I found it really engaging. Unfortunately, that's just bits and pieces of this movie. And so much of it just feels like a retread. And that's my problem.
We get in some of these flashbacks, some weird looking trolls. Like we see, you know, 1,000 years ago, humans killing a three-headed troll. It's like, why can't we get that in this movie? Why can't we get a weird looking troll? We also see in the first movie and in this movie, child trolls, baby trolls.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, you know, as weird as this movie would have been, it would have been a better idea to have the troll on the human side be much younger, like maybe like even half the size of the Jotun troll in the film. Cause then it's like, oh, you know, you can make it kind of cute. Cause some of those baby trolls are pretty cute. And then everyone has some buy-in and cares about beautiful and things like that. Anyway,
I agree.
Audiences didn't like this as much. The first movie has only a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes for the audience score. This one has a 35, but the critics were a little bit more extreme. They're pretty positive on the first movie with 29 reviews, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. This one, 58%. So pretty precipitous drop. I think that is still, forget how Rotten Tomatoes works. Is that still fresh? No.
No. Anything above 60 and above is fresh.
So it's close, right? But yeah, it's a splatty tomato as far as Rotten Tomatoes goes. It is
certified rotten.
But what do you think about it, Miles? Where does your personal enjoyment for this film lie?
Well, as you can see, I didn't have as much fun with it as I did the first film, mostly because they just kind of resolve for like, yeah, it's a sequel by the number. Like, it doesn't feel like it's pushing the franchise or the story or the characters forward in any way. They kill probably one of the better characters that they had in
the only one that I cared about.
Like, him and Nora were the only characters I really care about. And I was like, oh, cool. I know she's going to survive. But I mean, like 15 minutes in, I'm like, yep, he's dead. I know he's going to die. And when he does, dead, I'm like, this means nothing. That said, this is not necessarily a bad movie. It is, I mean, it just skirts by, but I mean, it's still very well directed. It's gorgeous scenery. And while I have problems with the troll designs, the trolls themselves still look pretty cool. You know, they're still well done. This is the biggest Nordic production of all time.
Yes. I think the previous troll was as well. And then this one has as well.
And, you know, it's very exciting to see, you know, another kind of kaiju production from this part of the world and something that feels like a different flavor. But unfortunately, like, it can't overcome its by the numbers sequelitis. And that otherness about it, that doesn't remain fresh for me because, you know, the first movie exists. So I'm pretty tough on this one. That said, I kind of gave it a little bit of a boost because I don't think it's a bad movie. And when I finished it, I was not like, well, never watching that again. Like, I'll probably see it. I'm not in a rush. But so I'm going with a 7 out of 10.
Okay. That's about where I figured you would be. I think this movie doesn't really escalate too much over the original. A lot of similar ground trod upon, like I said, both figuratively and literally. That couple in the middle of nowhere getting their house destroyed twice is a very apt analogy kind of for this film. But yeah, doesn't have too much more to say than the original, but is still a very fun movie. To be honest, I could just as easily throw this one on as opposed to the prior film. But that's mostly because they're so closely together that I don't know, they're both fun. So I gave it an 8 out of 10, which is, I think, what I gave the previous one for my personal enjoyment. Still a fun ride. I imagine, you know, there have been some hints last year when this movie came out that Rora Uthag wants to complete the trilogy with a third film. But who knows if that will be a Netflix thing or if he'll have to get money from elsewhere. But I do hope if we do get another sequel, we'd get something different. Give us a dragon, you know, give us some other creature and I'll be on board. For its technical score, I'm dropping it a little bit. I mean, the special effects are really good in this movie. I would say just as good as the original. They use their giant troll CGI fairly sparingly in parts, but very effectively. But the script, not really an improvement over the original. I was pretty bummed about Andreas's death, especially because, like I said, it seems somewhat preventable. It's like, oh no, I dropped the detonator. Let's go back to base and get another detonator, please. So I don't have to jump in a troll's mouth and kill myself. But yeah, acting very good. I think there's just not that much escalation of the spectacle of this movie over the first. We do get some building destruction, some bridge destruction, some things that look very cool. But the fight between the trolls is, I mean, that is what is promised on the poster. And it is very, very lacking. very small part of this movie. So yeah, I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 for its technical score. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on all of your points. Like, I definitely think the special effects are on point. I think this movie's well directed. I think it's well acted for what the actors are called to do. I like this cast a lot. I just wish they were called to do something more interesting. But this script is just flaccid. Like, I can't just say, oh, it sucks, but it does sink the movie, because I came into this movie really excited to see what they were going to do. And I had really high hopes for the one, a kaiju franchise that was doing something a little bit different than anyone else. And to see it just kind of go in a standard, you know, blockbuster sequel script that just kind of recalls the first really sinks this movie for me. Like, I mean, I went in hoping for another 8 out of 10 or even a 9 out of 10 film. Like, I mean, because when you add in another monster, the potential to do interesting things is there. The fights weren't that great for me. It was kind of cool to see Jotun get its heart torn out at the end, but
that was very cool. Yeah. I liked burning from the inside, Jotun.
But I think this script sinks the movie. And when a script sinks the movie for me, it really docks its technical score. I also, like I said, I don't love the overall designs of the trolls. I think they showed us things that could have been way more interesting, like you pointed out, like the three-headed troll or something like that. Yes, something visually interesting and different. These two trolls aren't, like, yes, they're clearly different trolls.
One has a beard, Miles.
They both have beards. One's just longer than the other.
One has a longer beard, Miles. One's ZZ Top. Yeah,
one has a lizard beard, and one has, like, a Viking, like, beard. I don't know. I'm actually docking this one pretty hard for both of those points, so I'm giving it a 6 out of 10 for the technical.
Okay. And for its importance as a kaiju movie, I really think that first movie getting made, succeeding, is, you know, enough to warrant this second movie and make this maybe into a little mini franchise now. But yeah, I would understand if they did come back with a third film, but I need it to be more than this film and the first film combined. I need it to be something special. We do have already established now this ally in Beautiful, an actual character that we can start the next movie with. And in that way, I think a third film could hit the ground running. But yeah, like I said, I want weird looking trolls for this movie. What I really wanted is, if they're going to make the trolls look just like humans in a troll suit, give us some suitimation. Like I said, this movie did remind me a little bit of War of the Gargantuas, and I miss that aspect of their fight. It really wasn't that hard-hitting combat, you know? So, but yeah, other monster types would also be really cool. Like I said, what else have they got in Norway? They got, like, dragons. They got all kinds of cool mythos. Or, yeah, just different kinds of trolls, I think, would be a lot of fun. Or just make something up, you know? Make up some other kind of creature. There's just so much area to be creative in. So yeah, I'm giving this a 7 out of 10. I think the importance really is mostly in that first movie, but it is awesome that it got a sequel. So, and maybe a third sequel, who knows? What about you, Miles?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same spot, but my problem with this one is, like, the first one I give flowers to, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that first one succeeding is the story. This one kind of just existing, it doesn't add a whole lot to kaiju cinema. It doesn't do a whole lot with its own mythology, which is too bad. So it kind of just is there. It's certainly not a bad movie. It's not a movie that I would tell people to steer away from. I'd be like, it's not as good, but it's certainly worth watching. And like you said, you could throw either of these movies on, and, like, if you hadn't watched the first one in a long time, you just wanted to put on Troll 2, you're fine. Because first of all, it's going to tell you what happened the first one.
Yeah, I was about to say, I honestly feel like you can just watch either of these movies. And
I do like a lot of the father-daughter stuff in the first movie. I also think the script is a lot stronger. I'm about where you are with a 7 out of 10. I was going to give it a 6, but I was like, no, it's still a solid enough movie. Like, its biggest problem is being a boring sequel, but it's not a bad movie. And I know you could argue that boring is worse than bad, but it's just more that it's by the numbers. And if you've watched the first one recently, then this is not going to give you anything. But that said, I think it's a adequate enough flick to turn on. So yeah, I'll give it a 7 out of 10. I'm really kind of a low 7, really pushing for a 6, but I'm gonna give it some points.
You're close there. I mean, I had a good time watching this one. like I said, just like the first one. This is still representing, I think, an entire point off of the first film. You a couple points, actually. So you're mm-hmm. you're at a very soft 7, where the original movie was a 9 for you. I am at a 7, a harder 7, and I was originally at an 8. So it's definitely gone down a little bit in our estimation, but Troll 2 is still a 7 out of 10. A good film. It's just, that's the thing. It's not a good sequel, but it is a good movie. It's hard to explain, I guess, without watching both of them pretty close to one another. I just expected so much more, Roar Uthag. You hear that? You're listening right now, right? Give us craziness if you get a Troll 3 off the ground. Right, so that's going to do it for Troll 2. And Miles, believe it or not, that catches us up to the present, where we are in 2026 as far as movies is concerned. That's the last kaiju movie on our list. And we've got a TV show to do next, but in the podcast, right?
Yeah, no. I guess so.
No, we got so many other things to do. But we'll talk about that in a couple weeks' time. Right now, you can find us online at kaijuversushistory.com. Email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Find us on social media at kaijuversushistory. Rate and comment on our show. Join the Cosmic Crit Discord, our other podcast, our gaming podcast, where we have a Kaiju Versus History channel. I think the last thing he had posted on there was a fan cut of the 1983 film Legendary Beast Wolfman versus Godzilla, a fan film that's mm-hmm. never seen the light of day. I started my morning with checking that out, and I was like, I don't speak Japanese. Yeah, what are we doing next week, Miles?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners, and we'll catch you next time when we return to the television monsterverse for a second helping of Titan action. Can this unlikely series thrive on Apple TV and support Spawn spinoffs? Or has the kaiju streaming well run dry? All those answers and more next time. So remember to tune in for History versus Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 2.